Hi, this is Tom Winifrith on the 5th of September with a postcard, a podcast on the subject of Syria. This is going to be perhaps something you'll disagree with violently, but to me, the news from Syria is dramatic and it's great news. The last stronghold of these people David Cameron branded the moderates, that is to say, the largely al-Qaeda supporting opponents of President Assad, Idlib is under attack. The Western press is talking about 4 million people there suffering and how they're going to get bombed by the nasty Russians and attacked by President Assad. This is all dreadful. I see Peter Tatchell, a man I admire greatly, is wittering on about the 800 people who've been murdered by President Assad in his torture chambers. The whole campaign is starting all over again. We get this narrative whenever a rebel-held area is under attack. But actually, who are these rebels, these moderates? Well, most of them are from al-Qaeda-supporting groups. Quite a lot of the rebel fighters will at one stage have fought for ISIS, but now that ISIS is essentially vanquished in Syria, they've gone for the next best thing, the al-Qaeda supporting Islamofascists. These are the moderates who execute people if they try to practice their Christian faith. These are the moderates who throw people off high buildings if they are homosexual, or if they've worked for the government in a capacity like being a postman or some other minor official. These are the people who behead 12-year-old boys who they suspect of spying. They behead all sorts of people. This isn't ISIS. These are the Western moderates, I use David Cameron's word, who we support. We're getting the usual beating of drums from the White House. President Trump is saying that if President Assad uses chemical weapons, the US will be forced to intervene. He said that last time the rebel forces were under attack, and lo and behold, a chemicals weapon attack occurred. Trump and the West, Theresa May, Emmanuel Macron, didn't wait for any evidence about who conducted the chemical attack, or indeed if there was one. They sent the bombers in anyway. They prolonged the war. There's a lot of evidence suggests actually that many of the reported chemical weapons attacks weren't actually attacks at all. They either didn't happen or that they were staged by the al-Qaeda forces. You know, what motive would President Assad have for launching a chemicals weapon attack? He is winning the war. He is winning it decisively, thanks, it should be said, to the support of the Russians and the Iranians. But he is winning and he is going to win. That's something that I celebrate. There's a very good interactive map of Syria, which I follow, which shows exactly who controls which areas and where bombing attacks are happening, and also other notable events. One of the notable events which is happening now is a big movement of refugees. The refugees were camped out in Lebanon and they are now returning to Homs. Homs, does that ring a bell? It should. Homs was a rebel-held area, David Cameron's moderate friends, and the people there hated what was going on. When it was liberated by President Assad, much to much wailing in the West, to Peter Tatchell complaining about Butcher Assad, not forgetting, Peter Tatchell, that gay rights in Syria means if you live in President Assad's area, you don't get killed. If you live in an area controlled by the moderates who you support, you get thrown off a building. And if that doesn't kill you, you get stoned to death on the ground. But there's much wailing about how another area has fallen under control of wicked President Assad. But now it's done that, refugees are going back in large numbers from Lebanon to Homs. They're going back to rebuild their lives in safety and in peace. knowing that women will be allowed to wear whatever they want if people happen to be the wrong sort of Muslim, that is a Shia, not a Sunni. It's not going to be a problem. If you happen to be a Kurd or a Christian, it's not going to be a problem because President Assad will protect you. There was a report out from the Ron Paul Institute a couple of weeks ago about another mass movement of people. The last province to fall before Idlib was in the southwest of Syria, the area bordering Jordan and Israel through the Golan Heights. When that province fell, and there's still a little bit of skirmishing, but basically that was a province which was controlled by both ISIS, last pockets of ISIS fighters, and also the Al-Qaeda forces of the so-called moderates. When that area fell, Ron Paul was reporting that up to 600,000 Syrians returned from Jordan and Lebanon to go home and to start rebuilding their lives. Get that into context. People are voting with their feet. Syrians are voting with their feet when the terrorists are kicked out, when the terrorists are no longer there, when wicked President Assad regains control, people move in. When the terrorists took control of the region, people left in their tens, their hundreds of thousands. The pattern has been repeated across Syria. Whatever we say in the West, the Syrians don't actually like the terrorists. They do not like the way they go around beheading people, throwing them off buildings, telling women what to wear, and executing people for belonging to the wrong faith. They prefer to be ruled by President Assad. There has been, I'm not saying that President Assad is a terribly nice guy. You look at the Middle East and regressively you come to the conclusion that nowhere really has been ruled by a terribly nice guy. Nice guys don't tend to survive in the Middle East. President Assad is a hard man. His father, the first President Assad, was an even harder man. They're not the sort of people I would choose to have a cup of tea with. Having said that, if you looked at the record of President Assad, junior or senior, before the current conflict, which the West encouraged, the West stirred up, we encouraged these forces, we gave armaments, we gave money to the moderates, and we stirred them up, and we created a power vacuum by crippling President Assad, which allowed ISIS to flourish. Before all that Western intervention, in the peaceable times of Syria, yes, there were political prisoners, and yes, I'm sure that some of them were executed, but on a relatively small scale. Women were allowed to wear exactly what they want and pursue the career they wanted, and religious minorities were allowed to practice their faith in full, with no persecution whatsoever. If you compare the Assad regime pre-war's record on human rights to that of, say, Saudi Arabia, he comes out rather favourably. There are an awful lot of regimes in the Middle East which come out far less favourably than Assad pre-war. But the West was selective in attacking Assad, partly, I think, because of his links with Russia. There is a long-established Russian airbase in Syria. But for whatever other reasons, because Saudi Arabia, our big ally in the region, was on religious grounds opposed to the Assad regime. For whatever reason, we decided we'd pick on Assad. He was by far and away not the worst ruler in the Middle East, but we've ignored people. We give armaments to Saudi Arabia, which is committing the most appalling war crimes in the Yemen, with our weapons. And we give not only armaments which are used for Saudi Arabia to commit war crimes in the Yemen, but we give the sort of implements which allow Saudi Arabia to operate a really horrible police state. Just the other day, a woman having been detained for 32 months in solitary confinement for protesting against the regime, for speaking out, not for encouraging revolution, but just for saying that things were wrong about the Saudi regime, had her head chopped off. And that sort of thing happens in Saudi Arabia all the time. Most of the people who have their heads chopped off in Saudi Arabia, which is one of the world's leading countries for beheading, are poor, are immigrants, or are political dissenters. the folks within the ruling classes can get away with murder. Well, they did get away with murder, both at home and abroad. My point is, there were far worse regimes in the Middle East. What's going to happen to Syria now? Well, Idlib will fall. And you will then have a country where there are one or two small pockets of al-Qaeda resistance, one or two tiny pockets of ISIS resistance, but they'll be wiped by Christmas. And the country will then be two-thirds, if not three-quarters, controlled by Syria, backed by Iran and Russia. The Kurds will control their territory, and there will be a de facto peace between the Kurdish territory and the rest of Syria. And there's a little pocket of Syria where the Free Syrian Army, David Cameron's moderate friends, are protected by the Turks. The Turks help them come in, drop weapons on civilians, Kurdish civilians, butchered Kurdish civilians. But since it was in cooperation with David Cameron's friends, the moderates, no one seemed to bat an eyelid. It would be hoped that the Turks would be persuaded to go back to their side of the border, and the terrorists could once and for all be removed from Syria. Let us not forget, when this whole terror, this Islamic terror thing started, for most of us, the early consciousness was 9/11 in the United States. That was an act of war by al-Qaeda. Here we have something happening 17 years later, for the past 5 or 6 years, where we have been giving weapons to al-Qaeda and giving arm and money to al-Qaeda. How crazy is that? We're giving money to an organization which attacks Westerners throughout the world. It attacks our interests. That's bizarre. These people are terrorists. Worse still, of course, quite a lot of those weapons found their way very quickly into the hands of ISIS, who I think we can all agree were deeply unpleasant people. So I'll be celebrating the attacks on Idlib. There will be deaths, and that will be unfortunate. There will be human, there will be civilians killed. That is terribly unfortunate. Of course, some of those civilians are there but through choice. They want to be there because they are linked to the terrorists. Others are innocent, and one feels desperately sorry. Lives will be lost. But it is not President Assad who is to blame. It is the West, because we have, for 7 years, thanks to people like Obama, Hillary Clinton when Secretary of State, David Cameron, Emmanuel Macron, Theresa May, to a lesser extent in recent years, we have been prolonging this conflict, and we have been backing the wrong side. If you look at Aleppo today, we saw all those images of the bombing of eastern Aleppo. Aleppo was a huge city. Eastern Aleppo was about one quarter of the whole of Aleppo. Western Aleppo was where most folks lived. There were attacks launched on Western Aleppo from Eastern Aleppo every single day. Not targeting military targets, just targeting Western Aleppo, killing civilians. Those were very rarely reported by the West. The West looked at Aleppo and talked about the siege of Aleppo. President Assad besieging the city. That's not what was happening. Most of Aleppo was under Assad's control, and it's always been under Assad's control. It was just this one small pocket of Aleppo which was liberated by President Assad. One of the joyous things one sees whenever there's a religious festival, the most recent, of course, being mid-August, the celebration of Virgin Mary going to heaven, is you see pictures of the rebuilt cathedral in Aleppo, where people can worship as Christians, and they can do so freely in a rebuilt cathedral. They couldn't do that when the people we were supporting in the West were in charge, because they got shot if they tried to celebrate their faith. Under evil President Assad, their cathedral has been rebuilt, and the people can celebrate their faith. That's something that we in the West should surely be celebrating. In a few weeks' time, I would hope that Idlib will also be liberated. It is not being besieged, it is being liberated. And when it happens, what will happen there is something that the Western media will not report, that the Western politicians will not talk about. What will happen there is that the population of the province will go up. And that is because people living in refugee camps in Lebanon, Jordan, Turkey, will make the decision to go home. You'll also find quite a few migrants who've moved to Germany or Britain or Western Europe. They will be going home too. Maybe it's not so much fun being a migrant in Western Europe, and that's something we can talk about another day, but they'll be able to go home to a country which is once again peaceful and, by the standards of the Middle East, very free and very, very, very tolerant indeed. I bring you one final story. I've talked about this before, is that I have a friend who is half Syrian, half German, and her family were actually in Aleppo, her Syrian family. They were in Western Aleppo. One of them attempted to make the trip to Turkey because she wanted to join her sister and her relatives in Germany. Unfortunately for her, she was trapped. She was almost at the border and she came up against a checkpoint controlled by David Cameron's friends, the Moderates. At that point, she was stopped and she was told, "You must start reciting the Quran, and if you get it wrong, we're going to chop your head off." Luckily, she was relatively devout and she was able to recite the Quran for a number of hours until someone came along and rescued her. The people who did that were the people we in the West have backed. We have backed the wrong side and we've backed very, very horrible men. And we have prolonged the war, we have prolonged the conflict, and we have created the crisis of mass migration. I wonder when the Western media is going to start reporting about how many Syrians are returning home. Because when this country is finally freed from this nest of vipers, these terrorists, when the country is freed, you will see the population of Syria going up dramatically. It's already happened in the southwest Syria. It's already happened in Aleppo. And even as I speak, there is this large convoy going from Lebanon to go back to Homs. The repopulation of Syria is happening, and that is only because the right side, you may call it the least worst side, but certainly the right side, that is that of President Assad, is winning the conflict. And within a few weeks or months, we'll have won the conflict definitively and for good. It's something I celebrate. The reporting of what's gone on in Syria by the Western media and the way that our political class have just lied to us about what's going on and what they've been doing has been absolutely scandalous. As Syria rebuilds itself over the next 2 to 3 years, I hope that people will realise how we have been hoodwinked by the political and media class, and they'll celebrate the rebirth of Syria. Okay, I now wait for the abuse. Thank you for listening.